ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text 25, the chapter entitled Parshuram, the Lord's Warrior Incarnation. I have been told to discuss the same verse which was discussed yesterday. Savairatnam tu tadrishtva Atmaishwaryatishayanam Tannadriyata Agnihotryam Sabilasha Sahayaya. Kartavirya Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in a form of the Kamdhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Haihayas, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kamdhenu which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. Purport: Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavirya Arjuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yajna with clarified butter received from the Kamdhenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man may possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarified ghee, especially for performing the Agnihotra Yajna. This is possible for everyone. Thus, we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Gorakshya, the protection of cows. This is essential because if the cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America that in our own various ISKCON farms, we are giving proper protection to the cows and receiving more than enough milk. In other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms, because our cows know very well that they are not going to kill, that we are not going to kill them. They are happy and they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Gorakshya, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily without scarcity, simply by producing food grains, annad bhavanti bhutani, and giving protection to the cows, Gorakshya. Krishi Gorakshya Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Sabhavajam. Those who belong to the third level of the human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meat eaters will protest, but in answer to them, we may say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals like hogs, dogs, goats and sheep, but they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of human society. Once again, feeling very unqualified and embarrassed to sit here and speak in the assembly of wonderful Vaishnavas, seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something for my purification and something worthwhile. So, in this verse, Kartavirya Arjuna has now entered into his own world of dreaming, and he has been completely distracted how he can somehow or other get this cow. And because of being caught up, because his mind being caught up in that thought process, he's practically oblivious of what a great reception being honored and offered to him by Jamadagni. And it's quite interesting that just four words back, the verse 21 and maybe 22, Shukdev Goswami is explaining the wonderful, extraordinary powers of Kartavirya Arjuna. And he says that because he worshipped Dattatre, he actually developed or got 1,000 arms, and he he got so much power that he was practically undefeatable by his enemies, and he also got unobstructed sensory powers, beauty, strength, influence, fame, and above all, this is enough, but above all, he got perfection in the 8 types of mystic siddhis. Now, if we see, out of these 8 types of mystic siddhis, one of the mystic siddhis is called Prapti. Radhanath Maharaj was speaking just 2 days back. And with this siddhi, one can practically obtain whatever he wants from anywhere, anytime. Which is actually equivalent of possessing a Kamdhenu cow. Because Kamdhenu cow is like a wish fulfilling cow. And with the same Prapti Siddhi, he can actually fulfill all the wish and all the desires he has. But in spite of having such wonderful Siddhis, he's still hankering for this Kamdhenu cow. So this is what is the nature of desires. This will be the theme of our today's class, where the nature of desires is practically, it can never be satisfied. Just as the desires keeps on coming and hitting the surfaces of our mind, exactly like the unlimited, never-ending waves hitting the shores of an ocean. As Lord Krishna says, avrittam jnana medena jnanino nitya vairena kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. It can never be satisfied, material desires. In fact, it is said that ashanam manushyanam kashchid ashcharya shringlavat. What is that? Yatha baddha pradhavanti mukta tishtanti panguvat. One who is bound by the ropes of desires, that person is actually running here and there. How can a person who is binded by the ropes can run here and there? But just see something wonderful in regards to a person who is having unlimited desires. Who is bound by the ropes of desires, he is running here and there. Or on the contrary, one who is freed. Yatha baddha pradavanti mukta tishtanti. But one who is freed from this ropes of desires, he is the person who is just satisfied and just sitting at one place and relaxing. So that is the nature of desire in this world. That's why it is said that if one takes all the trees of this entire world and make it into a pen for writing, and if one can, one takes all the, water in all the oceans of this world and convert it into an ink, and one can take this entire sky, which has no limits, and convert that into a paper, still, one cannot list down the unlimited desires, or that paper will fall short. The ink will fall short of writing or listing down the unlimited desires a human being can ever think of. So for a human being, enough is never enough. And a drive for more and more is never satisfied. In fact, just a few days back, Sridharma Prabhu gave a brilliant class. And he was mentioning how a credit for creating dissatisfaction in the heart of human beings, that credit goes to advertisement industry and media and television, where they will create a want where there is none. Actually, there is no need for that want, but still they will create that want. And they will create a feeling of guilt in the heart of the people, where they actually will feel, I am the only person deprived of this product. So if I won't buy, I will be an odd man out. So better me, let me also go and buy something. In fact, he was speaking about this gadget industry. iPod, I don't know what iPad 1, iPad 2 is, but I was speaking something about something like that. But you know, we have these iPods available. Now, initially, this just see the brains, how it works. These people, they will never release these products, or they will never release all the products simultaneously. They will release very, very slowly, one after another. Initially, they will just show a gross product with very, very minimal functionings. And it's like a dangling, a carrot is dangling in front of us. And when we get attracted to it, when we buy it, and when a lot of customers are there to buy it, then slowly they will release the same carrot, but in much more refined fashion. Maybe it's much more shining, maybe it's in a good form or a good shape, or maybe more functions, or maybe more increased GB space, and so on and so forth. But above all, when they will release that new product with much more GB space, they will see to it that they sell it at a much cheaper rates than the previous one, which will actually create a feeling of guilt in the heart of a consumer. And a person will be forced to buy one more. So he says his descriptions went on. He gave a very graphic description. So that's why it is said that a fuel that energizes a consumer market is only one thing. That is the perpetual dissatisfaction of a consumer. That is the only thing that is making this big, big malls coming up. Malls are coming as if they are like big, big skyscrapers nowadays. There's no end and such gorgeous outlook. Anybody will get just fascinated and enamored just by the outlook. And myriads of things available in that one supermarket. And it is said that you get everything from a needle to an aeroplane in a supermarket. That's a range of varieties available in supermarket. A person gets confused what to buy, what not to buy. And when he comes out, he's actually dissatisfied, not knowing exactly. So that is the only fuel that is keeping this entire consumer market going. People come out, many companies, they come out with many, many offers. By the way, honest confession, whatever I'm speaking, nothing is of my own. It's whatever I've heard from here and there by wonderful speakers, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, Anant Nithai Prabhu, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, and so on and so forth. I'll be quoting them in between. So it's nothing of my own. I'm just repeating their message. So there are many companies who brings out so many offers or sales schemes, But I mean, it's so obvious. An intelligent person can easily make out that it's actually a fraud. Nothing. They are not here to open a charitable shop to give charity. Oh, that's why they are selling at a very cheaper rate. No. They are here to make profit based on people's simple foolishness. They say 0% finance. What does that mean? It's maybe 0% finance, but you have to pay 100% interest to that. Or if they say 50%, discount. What does that mean? The prices are 100% raised before discount began. Or they say the prices slashed last week or this week. They say the prices have slackened and being slashed this week. That means the prices were just raised last night. And I mean, it continues. They say free offer. What does that mean? The offer is free, but the product is payable. You have to pay for the product. So people, out of their ignorance and greed and practically, a passion They just get consumed by this consumerism. And this entire racket scandal is so obvious. But it's just like now Srimad Bhagavatam says, Pashyanabhina Pashyadi. Although you can see, but still, although you are seeing, but you just can't see. The media will program it in such a way that obvious things becomes very difficult to even grasp it. So credit goes to them. So people just can't use their common sense. It's so uncommon. In fact, there's one person who said about television. He said that, what is television? Television is nothing but an automated daydreaming machine. It just makes a person go into daydreaming. That is what is television. In fact, this research, just found out this research, it says that the number of TV, television commercials, which an average child in America watches is 40,000 per year. 40,000. So much bombardment. It's like, doesn't get a chance to even think of. And it is said that the age at which a child develops a loyalty towards a certain brand is the age of 2. That is, the age of 2, he develops a loyalty towards that particular brand and he will just, you know, get stick to it. Never ever leave that brand ever in his entire life. And 97% of the American children below the age group of 6, nothing against America, but it's like, you know, people are now, because Indians are becoming westernized. So it's coming to India also. So it said that 97% of the American children below the age group of six years have products based on the characters which they find in either television or commercials or movies. 97% of the students, children's. And what is the secret behind this entire advertisement industry going? And which is considered as the best advertisement? It is said that that advertisement which can sell a refrigerator even to an Eskimo in an Antarctica, that is considered as the best advertisement. Now, Antarctica, Eskimos, refrigerator doesn't, you know, match. What are they trying to show? That best ad is the one which can cheat the most. That is considered as the best ad. And how people, just blinded by the moving optical illusions, just can't perceive the obvious and just get caught up. This is a beautiful story that I heard from the class of Gaur Gopal Prabhu, a story of a stone cutter. The stone cutter would every day go to mountains and would cut stones. But one day, suddenly he saw a huge procession in which a king was going on a palanquin, and there was a, you know, lot of jai jaikar, lot of pomp, and people were glorifying, the followers were glorifying the king. And a thought came in his mind. So I'm sorry, I'm just using this wonderful poem which was phrased by Gaur Gopal Prabhu. I'm just using it, but in our daily Sachi Sudhashtakam, raga. So this just so that I remember, this stone cutter started thinking, oh when will that day be mine, when I and my family together will dine, but not the food of the stone cutter, but the food of the king, all cooked in butter, So this stone cutter started thinking, when will that day be mine when I and my family would dine, but not with the food of stone cutter, but with the food of the king that is cooked in butter. And he started thinking, oh, I wish I just could, you know, be a king. And lo and behold, he just saw himself turn into a king. Touched himself, found out whether this is a dream or a reality. And then he saw himself going on a palanquin. Everybody is glorifying him. But suddenly, you know, this palanquin did not have a roof. So there was a sun which was hitting on his head strongly. So he started thinking, "Arey, I was thinking it is actually me who is controlling everybody. Everybody is glorifying me, but it is sun who is actually suffering, giving suffering to me. So I wish I could be a sun." And moment he thought, he turned into Vivaswan, the sun god. And he started thinking, "Oh yes, now I am controlling everybody, you know, hitting everybody with the strokes, giving sweat, perspiring everybody. Everybody is, you know, getting sick out of me." And suddenly, a huge cloud came and covered that sun. And he thought, "I never thought that there could be somebody more powerful than me can cover me up. I wish I could be a cloud." And this man who became a sun and finally became a cloud, and now started thinking, "Oh, I am, you know, even covering up the sun. Although I am so weak, so light, still just see my power." But suddenly a gush of wind came and took over that cloud. Surprise, not understanding what's happening, but thought, "Wish I could be that wind." And lo and behold, he actually became that gush of wind, now trampling upon so many trees and creepers and, you know, uprooting huge trees. But suddenly he saw, when he was traveling, gushing and trampling upon so many things, a huge mountain came in front, could not be touched. He thought, "I wish I could be that mountain." And again, he actually became that mountain. He thought he's the most powerful. But then next day, early in the morning, a stone cutter came and started cutting the mountain. And he was thinking, what is this going on in my life? I wish I could be a stone cutter. And again, he was back to square one, where he was. So this is the story of practically everyone in this world. No, I wish I could be Miss India or Miss Universe or Mr. this and Mr. that, or, you know, such and such person. But somebody or other is more powerful, more beautiful, having more strength than all of us. I just received a mail, you know, just a few days back. I don't know, many brahmacharis must have received. A man of 21st century. I just thought it's very relevant here. How this man of 21st century is fully dissatisfied. Whatever he has, he feels it's so less. So this wonderful mail, I actually liked it. It says, the man in the 21st century, our communications are wireless. Our phones are cordless. Our cooking has become fireless. And our food has become fatless and tasteless. The sweets which we eat have become sugarless. The laborers have become effortless. Our labors have become effortless. The relationships in this world have become fruitless. And the attitude that of careless. The people of this world have become faithless. The feelings have become heartless. The politics have become so shameless. Education, worthless. but the mistakes which we commit are countless. The arguments which the people give are baseless and senseless. The boss have become brainless. I'm sorry here. The boss have become brainless. The youths have become jobless. But the needs have become endless. Situations hopeless. And above all, since the salaries are becoming less and less and less, as the result, life appears completely meaningless. So this is the story, of a modern man who just feels everything is so less. But still, in the 21st century where a man is living, although the strength, beauty, and everything, Nashyanti Ayu Balasmruti, Bhagavatam says, still our acharyas, they are selfless. Still, Srimad Bhagavatam is that spotless Puran, and still, that holy name is priceless. That is the hope we have. So people, they have a desire to, they may be staying in Dharavi, but from Dharavi, they desire to go to Antop Hill. I actually quoted this once. They want to go to Antop Hill, and from Antop Hill, they want to get transferred into Pali Hills. From Pali Hill to Malabar Hills, from Malabar Hills to Beverly Hills. And from Beverly Hills to the Meru Hills in some heavenly planets. But finally, Krishna says, Shine Punya Martalokam Vishanti, they again land up, becoming an ant hill. So this is what is the fate of people who are dissatisfied. But very interesting, those who are satisfied with serving, with service and devotion, they get residence at Govardhan Hill. Sorry, not Govardhan Hill. Before that, Govardhan Farm. That is first. That is the reward. Who are satisfied. Or a person, he wants to shift from a Dharavi. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami, he is so satisfied that when Mahaprabhu just gave him one stone and a gunjamala, he actually thought that Mahaprabhu has given me a residence in the foothills of Govardhan. That was his degree of satisfaction. Although he could have enjoyed more, he could have had a lavish life. The extreme degree of satisfaction. A person may be staying in Dharavi, wants to shift from 1 BHK to 3 BHK. From 3 BHK, he wants to shift to a row house or a mud house or a bungalow or a mansion or a villa. So this project, from shifting from one place to another, from one house to another house, that project never comes to an end. People actually carry that desire. I wish I had this. And they may say that it's actually my ambition. There's nothing wrong to become ambitious. But if we see, if we actually observe very carefully, in the name of ambitiousness or in the name of ambition, people just breed only greed. That's the unfortunate scene of this world. We know the story of Socrates. Socrates was one day standing in front of a huge mall and waiting, and his friend, surprised, seeing Socrates. Waiting there, he went and approached Socrates, asking, "Come on, I didn't expect you to be here. I didn't expect that you'll also start purchasing and start shopping, like the people here." Socrates said, "I am just seeing, what unnecessary things people are purchasing. That's my only observation." So nowadays, shopping, Shopping has become not only irrational, people just don't think what to shop, what to buy, but it has become an obsession. Where, you know, just people are so obsessed that because others have it, I need in my life as well. Not only that, in fact, one person, he commented, everything what I owe, everything what I own now owns me. It has now become a burden to just maintain, which takes so much energy, time and effort and money in just maintaining that burden. So, in fact, Anandindar was just telling me, you know, 2 days back, he was telling that if you actually observe all the money that has been deposited in the banks, if you see all the money that has been deposited in the banks, it's actually surplus money. It's actually not needed for fulfilling the basic necessities. We just need, we just keep it in our house, whatever money we need. But whatever surplus is just kept and in the banks. So we can, if we just count that money which is there in the bank, there is no, I mean, the figures are mind-boggling. But still, people may have TV set, people may have sofa set, people may have, what do you say, multimedia set, people may have cutlery set, but still, notice that they are upset. That's their, you know, fate, unfortunately. So it's this consumerism. Or one more thing he was saying, Anandana Baru, that I'm just quoting, you know. Nothing, whatever he quoted was is absolutely right. So, and he was saying that the amount of money that is spent on fulfilling the necessities of life is practically 0% in compared to the amount of money which is spent in in fulfilling the unnecessary necessities of life. So what do we need? You know, it's just, you know, few things here and there. I'm just speaking all these things, but no realizations. His Holiness, what is his name? I forgot Sannyasi's name. Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Giriraj Swami Maharaj, he just came once and he was narrating his own story, where he was telling that he had a sister. He has a sister. And the sister, she had, right from her childhood, she had this desire that every day I should have a new dress to wear. And her entire wardrobe was filled with so many new clothings that they were actually finding it difficult to, you know, bring the new dress and, you know, replace the old one. So he was just telling that when I went as a brahmachari to her house, I was just thinking, what is the life of a devotee? He just needs two pairs of clothes, and here are the people of this world who are just, you know, having so much, still, you know, wanting more, and still feeling dissatisfied. So it is this consumerism that fuels and fans the greed and creates a craving, you know, amongst all of us, more than more than what we need. And if there's a wonderful statistics I just found out, this is from UNICEF, which speaks about world hunger. Now, one of the reasons of hunger in this world is greed. It is said that greed greed forces one to exploit somebody, but at the same time it strips off one from the basic necessities of life. So it is said that, in fact, Prabhupada also commented on this, the wonderful this wonderful quotation of Prabhupada on hunger. Prabhupada was on a morning walk near some slum areas, where he saw some people jogging, And Prabhupada commented immediately, just see in the huts, there are people who don't have enough to eat and satisfy their hunger. And just see these people, because they overeat, they have to now do jogging just so that they can reduce their weight. So this wonderful statistic which I found, it is said that there are the hunger in this world kills a person every 3.6 seconds, and 15 million children per year are actually they actually die of hunger. And to satisfy the entire world's sanitation and food requirement will take only $1.3 billion, which America and European countries alone are spending on perfumes every year. So there is no dearth of money, there is no dearth of, you know, even hunger can be eliminated. What is need is a need of a compassionate heart. Above that, they said that 1 in 4 people, that comes to around 1.3 billion people, lives every day on a salary less than $1, $1 US. But 358 billionaires, that is the whole world's 358 billionaires, they have an asset exceeding the entire world's, entire world's annual income, along with 45% of world people's whatever income they have. That is the degree. Extremes. That's why it is said that losers, they suffer due to the lack of resources, and winners, they suffer due to excess of resources. And the irony is that the greedy person, he watches another person dying out of starvation without helping him, and he himself dying out of anxiety without actually helping others. Now, Sridhar Mahaprabhu was telling this wonderful story that this man who had so much was asked by the television and the media people, explain your state of mind in one word? And this person said, more. That's what I can think of now. It's the only thing. Ye dil mange, more. That's what people say in this. So why in this world, this desire for possession is never satisfied? We'll come to the solution part now. We are running short of time. It is said that because it is our natural right, it's our right and nature to have unlimited possession by possessing the possessor of all the possessions, that is God. So no doubt we all have this mentality, or we all have this enemy within, greed. But if we can just repose that into to be greedy for achieving the wonderful association of devotees, service of the Lord. Tatrar, what is it? Tatrar bi laulyam, ek maulyam, something like that. Greed is that only price which one has to pay to achieve the Supreme Lord. Bhagavatam explained, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udarati tivrena. Whether you are greedy or whether you have no desire, still what is expected is tivrena bhakti yogena. Just that eagerness, with that eagerness and intense devotion, we just have to worship the Supreme Lord. Narottam Das Thakur says, lobha sadhu sangha hari katha. Just diverting that lobe into getting the association of devotees and hearing the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And only when we are hungry, then we can actually appreciate what there in front of us. But if we feel that I am satisfied, so in bhakti there is never satisfaction. That is never Prabhupada writes, that is never satiation. Why? Because bhakti expands, Krishna consciousness expands. So even in old age, a person never gets tired. For it is the body that gets tired, but the soul never gets tired. So more we feel hungry, more we become recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, sada santushta manasa, sarva shiva mayadisha, sharkara kantaka dibyo yatha panat pada shivam. One who is wearing the shoes, he is not pricked by the thorns and pebbles of this world. Similarly, one whose mind is covered by the shoe of satisfaction, he is not pricked by the thorns of greed in this world. He is always satisfied. In fact, recently Gaurang Prabhu, he was asking me, what is the theme of your, he's not here, he was asking me, what is the theme of your today's, what Bhagavatam class? I was just saying dissatisfaction and greed, that's what I'm going to speak. So immediately he opened his book, one of his book and diaries, and he immediately, gave me a wonderful explanation of how why people in this world are dissatisfied. So he gave me a wonderful understanding from Srimad Bhagavatam. He was telling that Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are the qualities of Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras explained. So there are different qualities of Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the common factor amongst all the qualities of Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra is service to Brahmanas. All the three class of people, man, are supposed to serve Brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada, from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 16, where he speaks about, which speaks about this verse, Shushrusho Shraddhadanase Vasudeva Kataruji Syant Mahatsevaya Vipra Purna Tirthani Shivanath. Prabhupada in that purport writes that one who serves, whomsoever you serve, you will develop the quality of that person. And one of the qualities of the Brahmanas is contentment and satisfaction. So one who serves, that is, if the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and the Shudras, they get a chance or opportunity to serve the Brahmanas or the devotees of the Lord, automatically they will get that quality of contentment and satisfaction, which in their own personal life is very difficult to obtain. And once the Brahmanas are satisfied, automatically the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are satisfied. Which means what? Automatically the whole entire society is satisfied. Amazing understanding. And Srimad Bhagavatam, you also gave me, what are the five benefits of being satisfied in this world? The Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto speaks, I won't go into details, but the five benefits are knowledge, fulfillment, peace, happiness and liberation. And what are the five ill effects of neglecting this principle of satisfaction? This is quoted in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The story of Pingala. She says, the five ill effects of neglecting this principle, says unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation and illusion. And this wonderful quote, which was given again by Anant Nitai Prabhu, this is from Chanakya Niti, very, very beautiful quote. He was saying that santosha trishu kartavya swadare bhojane dhane trishu chaiva na kartavya adhyayane tapa danayo. One should be satisfied with at least three things. One's own wife. Second is whatever food one gets from providence. And third, whatever money he accumulates by an honest means. One should be satisfied with that. And one should never be satisfied with three things. That is, one is knowledge of the scripture. Second is holy names. And third is charity. It's a wonderful quote which he gave. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam explains so wonderfully, devotees who had so much, they were ambitious. Being Kshatriya means they have to be ambitious, but they were never greedy. They were so much open to charity. It's a very thin line to be ambitious at the same time not being greedy. Just like it's a very thin line to use this principle of Yukta Vairagya. At the same time being detached. Using the things of this world at the same time being detached. It's a thin line. Similarly, it's a very thin line. Devotees, this verse is the only verse that is quoted or that is being that comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4 times in various chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. And little bit here and there words changes, words being changed. Nanaka prashtam, nachaparameshtyam, nasarvabhovam, narasadipatyam, nayoga siddhim, apunar bhavamba, samanjasatvam, virahaya kangshe. My dear Lord, I do not even desire, nanaka prashtam, nachaparameshtyam, I do not even want the heavenly abodes or the abode of Lord Brahma. Or I don't want to even become the king of the planet Earth. Narasadipatyam, even I don't want to become the heads of the lower planetary system. Na yoga siddhi, not even 8 mystic siddhis, not even liberation, if I have to give up service to a lotus feet. So what is important is devotees, they derived great satisfaction in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. That's where all satisfaction lies. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Parijate anjasa, what is that? Parijate anjasa labde sarangan yonya sevate tvadangri mulam asadhyam sakshat kim kim vrani mahi. The honeybee which is wandering from here and there looking for honey, when comes and sits on that flower of Parijata, becomes completely satisfied and doesn't want to go anywhere else. Similarly, we have been wandering life after life looking for things of this world here and there. But now, once we have come here, a devotee, having attained the lotus feet of the Lord, doesn't want to quit ever. One of the wonderful means by which we can actually, you know, overcome this mentality of, you know, wanting more is the feeling of gratitude. What does gratitude means? To count the blessings what we have than to count the curses. And to value what we actually have than to think what I don't have. That's what gratitude means. And Lord has given us so much abilities, so much resources, so much facilities for us to just be in this world. In fact, one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has awarded us is this body itself. We have not got by any other means, but it has been provided to us. Nobody will, what do you say? It's said that nobody will actually, even if asked for, will give even a one part of his body. If we are being asked, give me just one finger of yours, I'll give you 1 crore. Still nobody will give. This famous movie which says, Ye haath mujhe de de thakur. Somebody ask this, give me your 2 hands. Who will give? Who will be ready? Who will get ready to give his 2 hands? No one, nobody. Or please donate your eyes. Oh yes, yes, but only after I die, not now. I'll donate my kidneys only once I leave my body. But at the present moment, who will like to give? Why? Because it's so precious, it's so priceless. Even if one gives crores of dollars or crores of rupees, nobody will take it. We say, you know, sometimes we say our heart is beating. Beating whom? Beating us, actually. But still we love getting beated by our heartbeats. Somebody says, give your heart. No. Oh, it's different thing. Somebody gives the heart to somebody else. But actually, no, nobody wants to give. Why? It's so precious. So it cannot, the gift that has been given to us by Krishna is so valuable, it's so priceless. But the problem is people, they still have a list of so many things to ask for. And they abuse the priceless gift which they have received. They abuse by putting a different type of fuels in this body. A body needs only a certain fuel, but they put a different fuels in the form of alcohol or different fuel in the form of drugs and this and that, and they abuse the entire body completely, and finally they realize that it's too late and they run to doctor and they repent or they complain, why God, me? It's quite surprising, not understanding the gift that has been given. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, yena chaiva vipanyoyam praneir priyatamairapi. What is most dear to a living entity is prana, the life force. And atma jaya sutagara, atma, that is body. Nothing more is as dear to us than this body. So when we use this body for the right cause, in the right direction, that's where we can say that we have, no, that's where we can actually, bring the, or we can actually perfect the use of this body. In fact, in a Bengali, our Anang Mohanpro was saying this wonderful quote. He was saying that there's a beautiful proverb, says that, it's a little bit hilarious in Bengali. Daat thakle date maryada keu deuna. Something that. It says that when a person has teeth, when a person has 32 teeth with him intact, doesn't take care of it. But when it falls off, then he has to use the dentures. And every day, without fail, he uses to brush that denture so very carefully. He will take darshan of that denture. Sri Radha Gopin, I'll just take 5 minutes and finish off. I'm sorry for... And this person, every day will use these dentures and smile with those dentures. Trying to show, just see how wonderful teeth I have. So when I had it and never took care of it, but now when it's not there, we are so cautious, conscious of taking care of some artificial fixtures. So this is the peak time, youth, where we have to use this body in the service. If not now, then practically never. This is the only time. Otherwise, time will come when we will actually be thinking, I wish I could have done so much. But now I just can't. And there's a beautiful story of Arthur Ashe. Gaur Gopal was quoting this story. I won't go into details. But this person, so grateful for whatever he's receiving. He even got cancer in his life. In the final days, he received a letter from one of his fans. Why is it that you didn't complain to God? And he said, he didn't reply to any of the letters, but he specifically replied to this letter, to this lady who wrote this letter to him. And they said, in the entire world, there are 5 million people, 5 million kids who start playing tennis. 50,000, they enter into the game of tennis. Out of this 50,000, 5,000 people, they land up becoming a good tennis player. Out of this 5,000, 50 turn out to become, they enter the Grand Slam. Out of 50, 25, 25 to 4, 4 to 2, 2 to 1 comes in finals. And so many years, I was fortunate enough to hold that Grand Slam title. But when I got that Grand Slam title, I never asked God, my dear God, why me? And now, when God has given this, what right do I have to ask God, my dear Lord, why me? A person who is grateful, even the worst may come. Tatenu kampam so samikshamano. And when we see what the people around us don't have, then we actually value what we have. It is said that If you are born as a normal baby, our Dr. Sujit was telling me this wonderful pediatrics. He was telling me if a baby is born normal, or if we are born normal, we are so fortunate, because so many babies in this world, they are born with lifelong anomalies. He was saying congenital heart disease, or he was saying hydrocephalus, bilateral atresia. We don't even know what they are till we actually find out what they are. Cerebral palsy, it's a very, very common disease, you know, which hits a newly born child, and a child becomes mentally retarded, just can't function properly. And here we are, just moving, walking around, running, smiling, laughing. If you can smile, you are fortunate than so many people. Why? Because some people, they have got facial palsy, they can't smile. And some people, because they are so depressed in life, they just can't move their facial muscles to give a broad smile. It's quite... Not only that, if you get up early in the morning, without getting a pinch of pain, you are fortunate than millions of people. Why? Because so many people, they get up early in the morning, complaining with a lot of pains. What do we have is only, we can just be, we have a lot of reasons to thank God. If your heart is beating normally, generally when we run, that time only heart palpitates, heartbeats become more. But there are so many people in this world who are sitting and their heart is palpitating, tak, 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 fast, so fast. It's very, very uncomfortable situation for them to just sit. They become so nervous. There are eight, if we can get two meals to eat in a daytime, we are fortunate than 800 million people who are starving. They don't get daily breads. So what to speak? This is all okay. The very fact that we are living, great kindness and mercy of our of the Lord and our family, father, mother, who gave us a chance to live in this world, because so many child are being aborted, millions of child not getting a chance to even see what this what this earthly planet is. But we are not grateful for, we're grateful to Krishna for all these things. We are definitely grateful, but more than that, how many people in this world, they come in touch with Krishna consciousness? We can actually count on fingers. It's very rare. But so the fortune that has come upon us is immense. And so how many people can hear Krishna Katha? So many people who want, but they don't. This person, Prabhupada told, chant. This person saying, can't. That is a misfortune. So just 2 days back, when Radha Narayana was giving class, he gave a very powerful, he spoke a very powerful sentence. He said that devotional service is not our property, but it's a great privilege that has been offered to us by our acharyas, gurus, and Krishna. Something to value. So it's like, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, that is the most fortunate person who is getting a chance to come and offer his life at the lotus feet of Krishna. So we have got a chance to come here and do some little bit service here and there. So I'm speaking all these things for myself, so I remember this. Otherwise, all these words are empty bullets. So just to conclude, how this Kartavirya Arjun, finally, if we see in this verse, is planning to steal the cow, Thamdenu cow. And he actually makes it. He actually steals that cow. So I was just thinking, if we won't value what we have at this point, then it can be taken away anytime. So that cow can be compared to a very, very soft bhakti which is there within our heart. And just as Kartavirya Arjun had thousands of arms, Maya has thousands of tricks and thousands of arms to just, you know, steal that, you know, that cow-like bhakti from us at any time. At the least expected moment, you know, this Jamnagni was just living in the forest, and the least expected moment, this person arrived. Jamnagni even didn't get a glimpse that this person has come to steal my cow, and you know, within no moments it was stolen. So there are so many things from within and without, trying to steal away our bhakti, soft bhakti which we have, from within our mind. Narottam Das Thakur writes a beautiful poem. He says that kama krodha lobha moha mada abhimanasah apana apana sthane tane. No, this kama krodha lobha moha, from within the minds, they are just pulling us from all sides, trying to take away our bhakti. And from without, there are so many, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, so many people who are just trying to take away that soft cow, that cow-like bhakti. He gives seven types of people who just takes away of sense enjoyers. First of all, atheists, mayavadis, and sense enjoyers who are fond of sense enjoyers, devout hypocrites who just wants to take away the bhakti which is there within us. But our acharyas are so merciful. Just as Parshuram came with his chopper to chop apart the head of Kartavirya Arjuna, was so puffed up. Similarly, our acharyas, they have come with that chopper. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's preaching technique was called chopping techniques. How he actually chopped off all the unwanted, and so-called philosophy from this world, and gave protection and protected and preserved this wonderful bhakti, the cow-like bhakti, and gave us a chance to perform bhakti in our life. So whatever we have is by their grace. We are just an instrument in their hand. So I thank you all very much. I'm so sorry. I just spoke. But I have not imbibed anything. But I hope and pray that with this, you know, I'll get some brains to live by what I'm speaking. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Ganatraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.